Turn to Galatians. Galatians. All right. Before we start, hey, Mike, would you pray for this, please? Mm-hmm. Amen. Now I got a little study here, just real quick. It's when you read through your Bible, it's really easy and it's a blessing to run across God's promises, and you know we all like that. And then there's a whole book of Proverbs in the Bible where that you read some general truths. And how many of y'all read the proverb of the day? Today you read, 29? Yeah. And so there's lots of things like that. There's some other things that I love to look for in the Bible and look for just like principles. There's some principles in the Bible. And we're going to look at one tonight in Galatians 6. You're familiar with the verse. Verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That shall he also reap. You know, we always, this sowing and reaping thing, there's a principle to that. And you know all the parts of this, but it affects more than in this one. Verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." One of the principles about this sowing and reaping is, look in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture because I want you to see in the Bible that this principle carries all the way through. I haven't found any exceptions to it. Genesis chapter 1, during creation, look in verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." You know, the principle here is if you sow something, you're going to reap the same thing after its kind. You know, it's common that, you know, if you sow tomatoes, you're not going to reap watermelons, okay? And if you're expecting to do that, you're going to be disappointed all the time. And so whatever you sow, that's what you reap. In the previous verse, if we sow to our flesh, we're going to reap of this flesh corruption because it's not getting any better. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you're going to reap everlasting life. And so it's a matter of, we got to be mindful that these are principles in the Bible and they don't change. So if you sow to something, you're going to always reap what you sowed. That's what it said in Galatians. And so we always, too many times we look at this passage and we just look at the negative side of this passage. You know, if you sow discontent, you're going to reap discontent. If you sow fear, you're going to reap fear. But also, you know, if you sow kindness, if you sow forgiveness, if you sow love, if you sow good things, guess what you get to reap? So you've got the opportunity to use this principle to your advantage, okay? So we're going to look at three things in the Bible where this sowing and reaping have a direct effect on. So the first one's in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 1. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again." So there's a principle about this sowing and reaping, and it goes to judgment too. Whatever judgment that you use against somebody else is the judgment that's probably going to be used against you. Do you understand that? It says, "For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." And so people, every time you point out something I don't know if any of y'all have ever done this, but I've pointed out something wrong before, and I get that verse, thrown back at me, you know.
Judge not, yes, you be judged.
You know, which, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. But does God want us to judge things? Yes. But he wants us to use the right measures, the right balances, and the right truth, and all those things. He started this way back in, look in Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy 25.
Judge not, and I see me again.
They always say it like their nose is stopped up, huh? Deuteronomy 25, look in verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, and a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, and a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord God. What he's saying here is, he said, in your bag and in your house, in your bag you're not supposed to have divers weights, a great and a small. Okay? We were actually in Guatemala, and we called her the chicken lady. And she would show up with a cart. You remember the chicken lady? And she, you know, I mean, this is like fresh dead plucked chicken. And she just had a scale with two little, this homemade scale. And she'd hold it up, and she would put a weight in this side, like a quarter of a pound. And then she'd put chicken on this side until it evened out. And that's how you knew you're buying a quarter pound of chicken. And what God's saying here is, you're not supposed to have 1/4 pound for one use and 1/4 pound that weighs more or less for another use. You know, if you're selling, well, then you want one that looks like it's 1/4 pound, but it's only like 1/8 of a pound, you see? And then you're really cheating the person that's buying you, because you're not using a just weight. Okay, another deal here, the second part, it said a just measure. You know, if you're measuring out and selling grain to somebody, and you have a scoop that's supposed to be, you know, 8 ounces or a quart worth of stuff, well, you need to have the correct measurement on that. God doesn't take kindly, because that's cheating. It's wrong, okay? Now, all of y'all are sitting there going, well, that's good. That was in the Old Testament, and I don't sell chickens, and I ain't sold any grain to anybody, so I'm A-okay. Well, you know, this thing can go a little bit, you know, this is pretty much the definition of being deceitful, okay? Well, how about this? You sell your house, and when you have to fill out that deal where you claim everything that's wrong and you declare it, well, you may forget that the plumber told you that all the pipes underneath the slab are rotten. You may forget that he told you that, because he never put it in writing anywhere. You see, that's an unjust weight and an unjust measure. And just like you think you wouldn't want that used against you. You see, there's the point. So you wouldn't use it against somebody else. So this judgment thing is the same way. You need to use a just measure. What's a just measure? Let's look in John chapter 12. I'm glad you asked. He said, use a just measure. John chapter 12, verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and received not my words has one that judgeth him. What's that? The word which I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last days. So there's the just measure. It's God's words. So you'll never go wrong when you judge something or someone by the word of God, because it's just. Got it? It's what you're going to be. It's what we're all going to stand in judgment of. Now, if you're saved today, you're not worried about a judgment of your soul, but we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged against this. He said, against the word that he, the word that I have spoken. It's right here, the real word. So that's the just word. Look in, you're in John, go to John chapter 7. The Lord said here in verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. So if this principle carries through into judgment, then I don't want to be judged with a false measure. I don't want to be judged with a false weight. I don't want to be judged, but that's beside the point. I am going to be judged, and if I be judged, I want to be judged by the truth. I want to be judged by a righteous judgment. I want to be judged by the true, just measure, and you got it in your lap. And certainly, when we judge, we need to use this as it, or the way the verse sounds, we're going to start being judged the same way we judge other people. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. We read the first two verses. I want to read some more of that because it's in the same context of this judgment and this, you know, what measure you meet, it's going to be measured unto you kind of thing. So whatever judgment you use, he says in verse 2, for whatever judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with whatever measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, while behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Too many times the person that is doing the judgment has got his own problems, and many times they're the same problem, and his problem's bigger than the one he's judging. There's an example of this in Romans chapter 2. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Yeah, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap, and if you sow some unrighteous judgment, you're going to get it back at you. But he's saying here, don't. In regards to this, don't be a hypocrite. And look at Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. That's that righteous judgment. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, doest the same, and judgest thing, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I've said it before because this is personal confession time. I can usually identify someone that has problems with pride. And why do you think that is? Yeah, because Maureen's full of pride. No, I know. No, because moi, I have issues with that, see? And that's normally, you've heard the deal, when you're pointing the finger at somebody, well, you know, three of them are pointed back at you. And it's Bible. It says when, look at that verse again, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Okay? That's what's that? The pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, it's so we got to be careful with this judgment thing because, look in Romans 14. One more verse on this. Judging other people. I know I'm pretty sure it's a full-time job making Randy behave. I don't really need to worry about too many other people. Romans 14, verse 10. But why thou dost judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of who? Himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, instead of running up to your brother and giving them the downtown Charlie Brown about everything that they're doing right because you're so righteous and they're not, what you're doing there is you're putting a stumbling block, the term we use, you're trying to trip them up, okay? And truly, we ought to take the occasion to help other people correct their problems instead of spend too much time on showing them their problems. Now, this is not to say, I truly believe if we know that there's something that's unbiblical that somebody's doing, there's plenty of proof in here, you ought to let them know it. But there's a big difference between you having a big beam in your eye and running over there going to correct their problem, okay? So, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, watch that deal out. Watch that judgment thing, because with what measure you mete out in judgment, you're going to get it back yourself. Okay, let's look at another one. Luke chapter 6. I like this one. That's why I did the judgment first. We get it out of the way. Luke chapter 6. And verse, in case you don't have it underlined, you can underline 6:38. Everybody likes Luke 6:38. So this what measure you meet thing, this whatever you sow, you're going to reap principle, it has to do with giving too. It has to do with giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Look at this. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Okay, so what the Lord's saying here is in your giving, and I'm not just talking to the church, I'm talking about giving. And this can be your time, this can be your labor, this can be, but in your giving, the Lord says, whatsoever measure you use, it's going to be meet unto you. So, I decide that I'm going to give the church as a monthly offering, I'm going to give them a thimble full of my love, my money. Okay? God appreciates that. Okay? So when God is going to give back to me, He uses the same thimble. And He gives me a thimble full, but He's better than I. He gives it pressed down, shaken together, running over. So I'm going to have a really nice thimble worth of blessings coming back. There's nothing wrong with that. But wouldn't you rather give a 55-gallon drum of money or of time or of anything? Wouldn't you rather give a big measure? Because God's going to use the big measure to bless you. Now I sound like one of these prosperity preachers, yeah. So y'all can try it. You can give me all money after the service. Pastor won't be back for a while, and then I'll divvy it out, and you see how well I treat you. Yeah. No, this is a principle that's in the Bible about what the measure that you meet is going to be meet unto you again. And so we need to keep that in mind when you're giving. And it's not a reason to give. Okay? I really don't. I know in my life, every time I assume anything for God, He does His best to prove me wrong. Okay, He doesn't like me assuming anything, especially that if I give, I'm going to get back a whole bunch. Okay, but let's look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Yeah. Giving. Whatsoever measure cup you use to do your giving, the same one's going to be used back to you. Look in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, this is Paul, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's the same principle. If you use a big bucket, you're going to reap with a big bucket. That's just the way the Lord does it. Look at 2 Corinthians, it's real familiar, chapter 8. This is not only money, so let me dispel any rumors that pastor's out of town, so he got me and told me to preach something on money and get y'all fired. No, he didn't. That would be the last thing in the world he'd do. What I'm trying to do is teach you a principle here, and so far it's had to do with judgment and us judging other people, and it also has to do with giving, but it's not just money. 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were deeply impoverished, and they were under a great trial of affliction. But it says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we'd hope, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You've heard the story. Paul has taken up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. The church in Macedonia decides they have a Wednesday night meeting, and there Randy in the back gets up, and he decides to tell everybody they got some saints in Jerusalem that may need some help, and y'all want to help them out, and everybody's shaking their heads and go, well, how much y'all want to give them? And we take a poll, and they decide we're going to give them this much. And they said, praise the Lord, when Paul shows up, that's what we're going to give them. Well, then things didn't turn out like they thought. The crop failure started, the sun didn't shine, and the creek rose, and they're in a bad way, and they weren't rich to begin with. They were kind of just going to reach a little bit beyond their pocket and give this gift. And you know what? They decided, we're going to give the gift. And it says, to their surprise, in fact, it says, they said in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. They had the gift. And I can imagine the way Paul wrote that he is almost embarrassed to take it. He's taking it from people probably that need it more than the poor saints in Jerusalem. But they have decided to put it together and to honor what they said they were going to do. But this gift was based on this name in verse 5. And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know it has nothing to do with money. It's because of their giving of their time or their labor. That's where that money came from. I don't know whether they got extra jobs or I don't know the circumstances, but I know one thing. They came up with a gift that they said they were going to give, and they did it by giving of themselves first. And truly, there are, there's a lot of stuff this church can do with money, but there's a lot of stuff it takes actual human beings to do. Okay? We can have lots of money, but you can't pay anybody to do that toddler class. Money can't buy that. You know, it takes somebody that loves them kids. You know what I mean? And so that's a great form of service. And it hits these deals when you're over there with those children and you're dishing out and sowing love. What do you get back? Yeah, both of y'all cry all the time every time you talk about them kids. And I don't think it's from pain. Yeah. Yeah. So, giving, it's not just money. You can give of your labor and your time. Look at another one, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Paul just got through going through the armor of God. And in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what he's saying here? He says prayer is something that he was asking for. Prayer is a great service. It's a great gift. I know I talked to Bainhorn on the phone yesterday about Mary Beth's surgical procedure, and he was he was happy that everything went perfect with Mary Beth, but he was just as happy or happier that there were people praying for that. And the ones of us that have been through these things and understand the value of prayer, and how that when you pray, you know, we get up here and we say, you know, I could really feel the prayer. Well, what you felt was the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God on your life because somebody else was on their knees praying for you. And that's a blessing when you come to a Wednesday night meeting and you stick around and you pray for these prayer requests, because what you're doing is you're giving. And you know, it's Brother Modlich preached a sermon. I still got the notes in my Bible when we were in the metal building about banking up your prayers. Okay? The same principle here. You know, he used I don't think there's actually a prayer bank in heaven. You know, first prayer bank of heaven, you know, on the street of gold. I don't think. But in typology, he said, you know, when you pray for others, you are banking up prayers in your account. So the day comes and you need some, there's something there to make a withdrawal off of. Okay? And it's this same principle. It's what measure you put out, it's how it's measured back to you. Okay? So if you like to receive prayers and help and provisions, then with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. So if you like those kind of things, you ought to be doing your part. Prayer's pretty cheap. It's about the easiest way out, I think. You don't have to work, you don't have to sweat, you don't have to give any money, but you can sincerely get to the throne room of God and really do a good deal. So what measure you meet, principle for judgment and forgiving, and one more, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 24. And he said unto them, listen to this, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. We got that same principle working. But now he says it's under hear. But what's the context? Look up in verse 20. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. Verse 20 says, and these are they which sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what the principle is here is it has to do with God's words. The context is the parable of the sower and seed, and the fruit brought forth from what is done with it. Verse 20. And the Lord said, unto you that hear shall more be given. So with what measure you hear his word, the same measure will be measured unto you. If you're not getting much much from God in your Bible reading, then you're being measured back according to what you've put in your effort to hear it. Does that make sense? What you put in is what you get out. That's that same principle. For what measure you meet, it'll be meet unto you. You know, if you, I can almost guarantee you, if you've got somebody that doesn't come to church, and they don't do that, but they get in their Bible, they're not going to be a great Bible historian scholar, because they're not going to get much out of their Bible because they haven't put much into working and hearing and doing the deal. I was talking to Mark today, and he comes once a week faithfully. I won't say any more because he'll get the big head, and I know all about that. So, but he's coming faithful to the discipleship classes. We've went through 16 lessons, but we did that what, long time ago. Now we're just doing Bible, and the thing about that he admitted to me is he said, you know, since I've been doing this, I have learned more Bible than I could have on my own. It'd take me 20 years. Exactly. You see, the more effort that you put into learning Bible, reading Bible, hearing preaching, then the more you get out of it. It's that same principle. For what measure you measure, it will be meted unto you. Does that make sense? It sure does to me. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. This principle is all through your Bible, but I found judgment and giving and this one on the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1. My son, if thou wilt... I want you to see how much he wants you to get a hold of the Word of God, this wisdom. My son, if thou wilt receive my words... Here we go. And hide my commandments from thee, so that thou will incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, we'll stop right there. How many of y'all today cried out for knowledge and lifted up your voice for understanding? We got one guy in the back. Okay, Rowena just said it, say she did too. That's good. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of the judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. There's a little bit of work you got to put in to get that much out of it. But what God is guaranteeing you, whatsoever you sow, that shall ye also reap. You put the time and trouble and the study and the love into this book, and you're going to get it out. And I truly believe there's not that verse on God's words, but I know it in my life. It's pressed down, it's shaken together, and it's running over. You get away back, you get away more out of it than you put in, but you got to put in to get some out. Does that make sense? Your fellowship with God is based on this Word of God being in you. Go to 1 John 1 and we'll stop there. 1 measure of fellowship with God is based on the same principle. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Well, really, it's the whole chapter, but that which was formed from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John was privileged to actually be talking about the person, Jesus Christ. The word is the person. Jesus Christ is the body, is what he's talking about. But you can put the fact that we have heard and we have seen with our eyes this word of God. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested in us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Your fellowship with God is going to be based on this word of God. And if you don't put as much of whatever you put in that, you also get back in fellowship. It's one of those sowing and reaping things. So there is a principle here that whatever we sow is what we reap. We reap it in kind. So if you sow good things, you reap good things. Also, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Same measures used, that thimble or that 55-gallon drum. And so we need to keep these things in mind, especially when we judge other people, that we use a just measure and just righteous and righteous judgment. So I hope that was a help. It was a help to me to go through and see this in the Bible and know that this principle is one that's all through this Bible, and God stands with it. And I think he'll stand with us if we live with it. Father, I thank you for the lesson. I thank you for the book. I thank you that we've got the truth here that we can judge by, and particularly judge ourselves, and so that we can be right with you. We know that God loves a cheerful giver, and I pray that each one of us will be able to take a piece of that giving and getting some back, pressed down, shaken together, and rolling and flowing over. And Father, I know that we love your words. And I know that the more that we put into that process of reading and studying and putting those words inside of us, the more that you're going to prosper us on the other end with your fellowship. And we sure do thank you for all this, Lord. I pray that you'll help us do the gift of prayer here in a minute in our prayer service. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.